That's right. Mark Cavoli with us. It's 9 o'clock. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Mark, you were kind of off the grid this weekend. Did anything interesting happen?
Depending on what you consider interesting. According to my life, it's like, you know, just status quo.
Mark Carbali.
How about that? Oh, I get that one. It took me a second, but
you know
it.
What?
It took me a second.
I watched the video,
Just go.
For those who don't know, Mark Cavoli got his car stuck.
I mean, your
in
ass
the mud
didn't
at Steelers
help
camp.
Anything? Like, you didn't even attempt to push. Like, you put your hands on the car, and like acted like you did a little just like. And then nothing. You let everybody else do the work for you.
It was like when I played clarinet and band back in middle school when I didn't know what the hell to do, so I would just fake blow on my clarinet and fake hit the buttons.
Right, yes.
That's exactly what you did. There's 15 media members, staffers from St. Vincent College, all pushing your car,
right.
And you're just standing on the back. You've got your hand just softly placed near the back left door.
Okay, can I explain myself?
Of course.
Can I explain myself? You can't always believe what you see. First of all, this was attempt number about 7 over an hour span. There was different groups coming in. If you notice, Pomp was one of the first ones here. Pomp didn't even lift a finger other than to press record on the thing. So there you go.
We're going to let you finish, and we're going to let you tell your side of the story. Pomp has also had open heart surgery before in his Pittsburgh Royals.
He's 70 years old.
Pomp doesn't even drive his own car to training camp. He's got
a driver,
and then when he gets out, they put him on one of them rickshaws.
Yes.
it felt like he was doing the Masters or something. Here we go here. And I'm like, Pomp, do not go around to the front and see that my car hasn't been inspected for a year and a half, please. I said, do not go there. But
what's the make and model of this car?
It's the beater. It's
yeah,
the
what,
beater.
What year did you get purchased this
it's
vehicle?
It's the wife's car back in 2010, Nissan. Am I allowed to even say that? I don't even know what I'm allowed to say
so
on
it's
here.
Been 15 years that you've been driving this thing
it's
around.
Sold off, and it's paid off, and I've used it sparingly, but since it was the weekend and I was going to be away a couple days, I'm like, I'll take this up there, whatever. I pull into there's millions of cars, unbelievable amount of cars. Never saw that much in my life. Couldn't find a parking place. Pulled into this grassy knoll. Didn't know there was a knoll there. But the point was there had to have been at least 5 to 8 different groups that came in and failed mightily. I mean, it wasn't budging. So all of a sudden, within an hour, which a video you saw, there's about 18 or 19 people to show up. And if you notice, Doran, the first attempt, it was plugged again. I'm like, this is not happening. I'm going to call AAA. I'm going to steal somebody's AAA card. And before you know, boom, it shot out. And I was shocked. So that's why it looked like I wasn't doing anything.
You could have gotten the car and actually.
No, because I would have waited down. There was a staffer girl that got in the car. A tiny staffer girl that got in the car, so she didn't have to weigh it down.
Don't you want to weigh it down so you can get some
traction?
No,
because it was plugged. That was the problem.
You want to get traction.
No, the traction wasn't the problem. It was plugged, apparently, because the grass was high, and I went over a grassy knoll, and it plugged. And I didn't know this until I was leaving. My goodness. Let me tell you something. The news travels around St. Vincent campus quickly because we went from 3 people to 19 people, and I think Father Paul was there, and monks were helping. I don't know.
Monks?
Can you just back away from the mic just a little bit?
Why? I'm just you get me fired up already. I was kind of tired.
Usually the complaint with you is that you're not loud enough, but your lips are on the microphone, so you're popping your peas a little
there's
bit.
There's not
there.
That little...
No,
right
you're
there.
Good. You're good. Just put the little microphone
the little thing
on there.
Is, a yeah. little whatever you call it.
There you go. Yeah, so... My question is,
fired up.
It didn't seem, Mark, like you had somebody in there putting the car in reverse and hitting the gas until the very end.
No, it was the whole time.
The whole time you were
we
trying
had
that?
Somebody
okay.
else in there. And the great PR director, Michael Birch, taking credit, saying, hey, all I needed to come in and say, put it in reverse and hit the gas. Like Mike, I have not thought of that once over the past hour and a half. I said, what happened was there was 19 people pushing and lifting at the same time.
All right, people come to this show when you are on for Steelers news, so we will get to Steelers news, but what's the, so let me figure out how to phrase this. You've torn both Achilles, one at a Steelers game.
One at a Senior Bowl. No, one at the Senior Bowl, too.
And one at the Senior Bowl. So both at football-related events.
Mm. And Doran wants me to do, like, blocking sleds with the truck.
It's your car.
You fell asleep.
No, I didn't.
Sitting next to Mike Tomlin at the NFL owners' meetings.
Yep.
You, because of your toilet paper take, you were in the news with McAfee last week.
The sandwiches and the cargo shorts.
Sandwiches and cargo shorts.
Those are cargo shorts.
And
those
then sixth, now your car. Which is the most embarrassing to you of those six things?
Nothing embarrasses me. How would that embarrass you?
Falling asleep during the Tomlin press conference.
I was not sleeping.
What were you doing?
I was just sitting. There was a bad angle by DeFabo taking
your eyes
my
closed?
Video.
Were your eyes closed?
Oh, absolutely. My eyes are always closed, if you notice.
So, yes.
No, it's like hereditary.
Yeah, he said, no, my eyes are.
It's like hereditary. Even my mother looked at me the other day and said, why don't you open your eyes? I'm like, I can't.
My eyes are always closed.
You guys are killing me here, Smalls. Is this what I come in here for?
No.
On a day off?
Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. So Darnell Washington says he would welcome a move to tackle if they asked him to do that. And we've seen it with Larry Brown. Jason Peters did it. We saw it with Al Villanueva. This dude looks, and we haven't been there, but this dude looks like he's as big as Broderick Jones. Do you think this is a realistic thing that could happen?
It might be realistic, but it's not realistic now.
Okay.
I mean, Villanueva took him 3 years to make that transition. I'm sure Peters takes. That's not a position where you can just say, go play tackle because you're a good blocker. There's a lot of footwork involved. There's a lot of nuance involved of playing tackle that he has never been exposed to before. Plus, to be honest with you, he's a pretty doggone good weapon so far here in training camp that I don't know if I want to move him out there. Maybe, you know, extra tight end, maybe unbalanced, something like that, but no way you're going to move him. Now, if he was like last year and the year before that, really didn't look like a guy that was going to be much of a pass catcher, maybe you make that a long-term plan, but the guy is looking great. I wouldn't want to.
He's looking better now in camp than he has the last 2 years.
Unbelievable.
Really?
They're using him as the weapon. They're using those four tight ends at the goal line, Doran. Four tight ends or a fullback with a big guy and splitting him out and just saying, okay, let's see if you can beat the 300-pound, 6'8", very athletic dude to the ball. And the guy is a different guy. I never thought after seeing him the past 2 years that he would turn into a pass-catching threat.
Huh.
He's looking like a pass.
You really think he's 300 pounds?
Oh, he's over 300 pounds.
Do you think he's bigger than Broderick?
Oh, he's bigger than Broderick.
Wow!
Do you think that if they, this week, they were to move him to tackle, and I know you say the footwork's different, it's not that much different, but it is different, in my opinion, do you think he would look better than Broderick at tackle? No. Than Broderick has in training camp at tackle?
I mean, I saw yesterday Jack Sawyer going against Darnell in some of these edge-setting drills, and he just didn't look like a guy that would need a lot of work to be able to be a tackle. And I think Broderick's has played that his entire life. So, I don't think so. I don't think that's an option. I don't think that's a long-term option. I don't think that's a short-term option. It's just an option because you know he can block well as a tight end, and he's a massive human. Now, if you get a speed rusher like T.J. Watt, you know, smacking hands away and up and unders, you think Darnell knows how to?
Or he doesn't.
You have to be. The little nuances involved of pass blocking, especially with a left tackle, and usually you get a good edge rushers there, are different than, you know, goal line blocking.
Isn't that Broderick's issue right now, though, is that he is far from a tactician or a technical success story? I mean, he's got the athleticism, there's no question about it, but, I mean, we've talked to Trey Essex before about this, ball knowers. Doran, Pat Bostic have talked about it. Like, from a technical standpoint, it's not like Broderick Jones is in a good place with all that.
No, I mean, that's why I think he has a better chance to get to that place quicker. I mean, he was the 14th overall pick, not just because of his athletic ability. He was a very talented guy. you do have to work on the technique a lot more. And not only that, I think he has to work on some of the awareness too. I mean, I think if he gets that between the ear stuff settled out of knowing what to do and where to go, which has struggled on the right side too, now it's a whole different flip on the left side. I think he'll be, is he ever going to be the 14th overall pick type of guy?
Doesn't look so right now.
Probably not, but I think he could be above serviceable, which is not great for a 14th overall pick, but I think he's good enough to for them to win. I mean, I think you can protect guys on that side of the ball if you have to.
People texting in that McAfee pays you $50 million. For God's sake, Mark, no reason to have an antique car to rely on. You've been in Western PA forever. With all the weather, 8 months of the year, no excuses.
$50 million. Was my name Rich Walsh? Dead. No, I mean, honestly, I drive that car like four times a year. It's not the point. The point was
that you got it stuck parking in the grass.
Yes, because there's so many people up there.
Were you late, Mark?
Huh? I wasn't late. I was on time. I was end up being late, probably. But I'm like, okay, pull into the grass. Little did I know it was, you know.
Well, last thing on this for now. Did you know when you pulled in that you were going to be screwed?
No.
It wasn't until after practice, after you had talked to Tom and all that stuff.
Getting done with my stuff, got in the car, tried to go catch the beginning of SummerSlam, and I pressed the gas. I'm like, it's not going anywhere.
If you had to pick one Steelers player that was walking out to practice or walking off the field to help push your car out, who would it be?
Who would be willing to do it or who's able to do it?
Who the best person that you're like, this guy will get my car out of this rut?
Oh.
I know who I'm picking.
The guy who you want to be playing left tackle.
Correct.
Now. Broderick Jones. No.
Darnell.
Yes.
Darnell Washington.
Darnell might have been able to lift it up himself. Maybe Jack Sawyer. He's a mean SOB. Now, there's difference between people willing to do it and people that will do it.
I'm saying the person that can accomplish getting it out the best and the quickest.
You get Darnell and Zach Frazier on that. They're pushing that thing out by themselves.
I'm going the duo of Frazier and McCormick. They can get those out themselves. But it was plugged like crazy.
I think Frazier would have helped you out with it if you'd asked him.
You know, I had.
Would Darnell have helped you?
Yeah, I think he would have.
You know who was there? Was
he didn't answer
coach,
that question.
D.Y. Daryl Young was there. He was helping, and he gave up real quickly. He's like, "This ain't happening."
Yeah,
I had different
training
levels.
Camp staffers. You had all kind of people. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. DK Metcalf says this is the best defense he's ever been around, so we'll get Mark's thoughts on how the defense looks through a week plus of camp, plus Alex Highsmith dealing with the groin injury. Just how severe is it?
And you don't want my opinion because I think they're the best defense I've ever seen. And
really?
Yeah, like. There's some dogs everywhere on the field, and I tip my hat to them because they come to work every day, and, you know, we don't have any choice but to get better.
DK Metcalf with the NFL Network saying it's the best defense he's ever seen. Mark, you're there every day. Mark Caboli with us until 10 o'clock. I mean, usually this time of the year, if you got a good defense, it's going to be ahead of the offense. And then, you know, it starts evening out. What are you seeing? I mean, is the offense bad or is the defense just this good? Because by all accounts, the defense is running the show here.
Yeah, they were very good yesterday. I think it's a combination. I think the defense is really, really good, has the players in every right position. But I think it's just been a transition period for the offense of so much newness involved in trying to get things worked out. You put those two things together and you get what you had yesterday, and it was just utter domination by the defense. And this is without TJ or Cam even playing. And Highsmith wasn't really playing either during team stuff as well. I mean, they weren't getting anywhere with the running game. They were 2 of 12 on the red zone. It was just not pretty whatsoever. And then once again, you got your two or your three best players not even suiting up here, and it's just pressure and batted balls. And it's been impressive right now. I don't know. I mean, when guys like DK Metcalf say stuff like that, just any player, I just take that with a grain of salt. What's he going to say? Oh, you know what? That 14 Raiders team was a lot better. What are you going to say? Of course you're going to say this is the best defense around.
He doesn't have to say that.
He does not have to go the hyperbole route. He can say, we got great competition every day going up against those guys.
That's sort of like, Art Rooney saying Big Ben's a top 10 quarterback. What's he going to say? No, he's 18th.
I don't think that was controversial.
What I'm saying is that, of course, he's going to put it a good spin on it. But they have played well. They have played extremely well. Jalen Ramsey, I think, is making a huge difference. You know, who else didn't practice yesterday was Joey Porter Jr. So they dominated the majority of the first team without Calvin Austin. He didn't play with four starters out. That's how good they've been. Now, some of it has to be because the offense is
right.
Transitioning here and trying to learn different things and trying to work on certain. I mean, there's only so many times you can go up to a red zone and have four tight ends and thinking something's going to be changing here. You pretty much know what's going on right now. So I think they'll get better, the offense, but the defense has been extremely good.
After how last season ended, this is something that you would rather see, right? Like, after how they got ran on defensively and got taken advantage of defensively, wouldn't you rather see and hear the defense doing well in training camp over the offense, or would you want to see the offense dominating the defense with Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback?
I wouldn't say dominate, but I'd like to see a little bit more out of the offense mm-hmm. so far through.
But you're happy with how the defense has transitioned into being better at this point.
Yeah, because they got better players. I mean, Peyton Wilson is low-key very, very good next to Patrick Queen, who's having a pretty good camp as well that brings you along to the cornerbacks. And Elliott, I mean, I hate to say it. I mean, it's hard to see much of a difference between him and Minka right now, right? They're that good. The defensive line has always been a question mark to me, and I think it still will be a question mark until you get into live regular season games right now. I mean, that's sort of like the offensive line. If the offensive mm-hmm. line struggles, your team's going to struggle, and if the defensive line struggles, but those guys have been all over the place.
Harmon making plays?
Harmon's been a lot of pass breakups, a lot of pressures. DeMarvin Leal looked good yesterday. Maybe the offensive line maybe we did overextend ourselves a little bit. That Adam talking about how good they might be, it hasn't been very good so far.
Well, I've said it's the most talented line the Steelers have had in a while, which I still agree with. It just that doesn't mean
I say Amalu finally come back, Broderick finally come back, Frazier all of a sudden figuring out how to snap the ball again after a week of who knows what he was doing.
Yeah,
so. It's a work in progress. I mean, offensive lines, just the more you play together, the better you get. And they haven't played together more than yesterday.
So yesterday was the first day that the full offensive line was there.
Isaiah Malu was still limited to a point, but he did some team drills. And Broderick Jones was back. So, yeah, I think yesterday was pretty much the first time they've been together as a full unit. Well, that's a big sigh there.
It is, because depth-wise, I don't think they're where they were last year either. Like, how do you feel about their depth? Like, if Broderick Jones, who is your starting left tackle, sucks, and it's like week 8, yet you found a way to be 4-3, and you're fighting through the season with a bad left tackle, and they want to make a change, do you think Dylan Cook could be that guy? Do you think they'd consider moving Troy Faltano to left tackle?
I don't think they're moving him. Yeah. They would want to have a whole offseason if they decide to do it. Now, if Broderick fails this year, they don't pick up his fifth-year option, maybe they consider that next year. But I think it has to get really, really, really ugly for Broderick Jones for them to make any sort of move. Dylan Cook, I'm sure he can.
I think he's started 14 games in his career.
You can be okay, I guess. Calvin Anderson, you're not going to have depth across the offensive line when, that's a position you just don't have depth at. Because if you have depth somewhere, they're starting somewhere else.
No, you're right about that.
It's just the way the NFL goes.
But last year, if everything went according to plan, mm-hmm. Broderick Jones is going to be their swing tackle. That's a much better position to be in.
That's because they drafted two rookies that were going to play.
He was a rookie that was supposed
to play. Well, Frazier and Faltano was going to play, so Jones was out. I mean, you're almost dying for a guy like Dan Moore right now, huh? Just a solid guy, not too good, not too bad.
Yep.
And he got $82 million for just being middle of the road.
Yeah.
And that's the issue if Broderick Jones doesn't pan out this year, is next year you're going to have to use draft capital on a left tackle, or you're going to have to get into that market, and you're going to wind up paying a guy that's the caliber of a Dan Moore Jr. money. And so when you had Dan, at least you didn't have to pay him. Yeah. Now you'd have Dan, and you'd have to pay him. No good.
Historically, you don't see too many top end talent offensive lineman on a free agency market. Correct. So you pretty much have to go through the draft there. Unless you're like, I guess, Orlando Brown. I guess he moved over. And occasionally that will happen. But usually if you're good, that's why Dan Moore was probably overpaid.
Is Broderick physical? Like, whatever he's in the run game. Like,
he was a little bit yesterday.
I mean,
they had one-on-ones yesterday. He was a little bit.
Even, like, during the season, from what you remember, like, whenever he's engaged in the run game, does he play physical or does he play finesse? Like, what I'm getting at is if you still want to maximize Broderick Jones, could he move to guard when Salem Alu moves?
That'd be a monster guard, huh?
I'm just saying. Like, yeah. I mean, could he play the inside? Because he is athletic enough to pull and do things like that. Can he be physical enough to play guard where he isn't out there on an island?
I don't think they want them to play as physical as we might see typical tackles this year. They want to be on the move. I think that's why he lost so much weight.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do that quick outside zone stretch stuff, and they got to. You look at the offensive line; they're tiny.
Did they ask him to lose that weight?
Ooh, it's hard to get a straight answer out of him, and I really haven't asked Pat Meyer yet. But he, you know, you've heard. Heard the story about he wanted to lose weight so he can gain it during the season.
Right.
He just wants to eat.
Absolutely
what he wants.
No season sense whatsoever.
He wants to be able to eat whatever he wants.
Yeah, but he's right now. He stands right next to Darnell, and you would say Darnell's the tackle.
Man. All right.
I mean, I'm not saying that he's tiny, but he's just – he looks like a power forward. You know, he looks like – I won't even say Shaq because Shaq was bigger than
Barkley.
He looks like a
– Barkley.
Yeah. Round mount a rebound.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Barkley was 6'6", right?
Yeah, compared to Shaq. He's little.
Coming up next, the latest on Alex Highsmith's groin injury. Just how severe is it? And, hey, friends – it's a game week. Who should we expect to see in preseason game number one? We'll get into that a little bit with Mark Caboli when we return. So Alex Highsmith left yesterday's practice with a groin injury. Did you see it, Mark? How bad did it look?
I actually talked to him afterwards, and I was actually unaware that he got hurt at the time.
Oh, that's good.
It was competition period, so there was five things going on at one. You pick and choose one of them to wish to watch. And I end up picking the tight ends and outside linebacker setting the edge.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really notice it. So I'm talking to him, and he seemed fine to me. It was family night. He said, I'm going to go get dressed and go have dinner with the family. It wasn't like he was hobbling or anything. But now I wish I would have known. I would have asked him at the time. But he seemed like he's fine to me.
Usually when guys are hurt, they don't talk. Hurt.
Yeah, but was this one of those, nice like, guy, hey, like, my groin is like, it's a little tender.
I might have felt something.
I don't want to participate in the preseason game type deal.
No, Highsmith. Highsmith, you have to yank him out of there.
In preseason?
Anywhere. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen him miss a practice, a mini camp practice, an OTA practice, a training camp practice. He doesn't get those veteran days off. He goes, he's like, you know, that warrior that just never comes off the field. So he's not angling to not play. No way. He probably won't play now, but he would never do anything. He's just not that type of guy.
And they're off today.
Yes.
Who do you think's going to play in this preseason game?
Not Aaron Rodgers.
Is he going to play at all, you think, in the preseason?
I doubt it.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't, but then I wouldn't be shocked if he had a series maybe at home against Buffalo either.
Mm.
But what good does it really matter?
I'm with you.
It really doesn't. I mean, there's only negative that can come out of it. Okay, you go up there and do four passes and you lead him to a field goal. Yay.
Right, I mean, nothing.
Ben used to play.
Yeah.
Justin Fields played last year.
Russell played last year after missing a while. He played in that Detroit game.
Oh, my God, he did. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
He played in the preseason and,
yeah,
then, and then didn't play week one?
Yeah, didn't he re-aggravate?
I don't know if you can re-aggravate.
Man, I blocked the whole Russ thing out, I guess.
You can't re-aggravate?
You can only aggravate something.
You aggravated the first time, then re-aggravated again.
I don't think whatever that word is a word.
He was very close to saying Viagra.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I have no recollection of Russell Wilson playing in the preseason.
I don't think there's – I honestly don't believe there's a word such as re-aggravate.
You can aggravate it. Yes, you can aggravate. I can't even say it now. You got me messed up. The first time, whenever he did it initially, that's aggravating.
He heard it. No,
that's aggravating it. And then you come back, you're healthy, and then you re-aggravate it.
I don't think it's a word. But
re-aggravate, third person singular, simple present, re-aggravates, present participle, re-aggravating, simple past and past participle, re-aggravated, to aggravate again. Doran, it's a word. The journalist is wrong. Score one for the football
player. You can
re-aggravate
an injury.
Where's the YouTube at? YouTube commenters, texters, English majors.
You can re-aggravate an injury. You see?
You can
aggravate it. The first time. That's what happens the first time.
I always got yelled at for using re-aggravate because, you know, that's not a word.
Yeah, it's a word. Yes, re-aggravate is a word. Yes. It means to aggravate something again or make it worse than it was
before. What are you looking at?
This is from AI Overview, also Oxford English Dictionary.
You're looking at it
up with Oxford, man. Like, if you don't want to believe AI, don't believe AI. We got Oxford here. Oxford's on the case.
We go with the AP style book, so I don't know. Maybe I am incorrect, but I don't think I am.
You are.
But Russell Wilson, speaking of, he was at SummerSlam yesterday doing his SummerSlam stuff.
What was he doing?
Kissing babies and shaking hands.
Mm. Nice.
I was really aggravated after seeing that.
How can you sit here and say that that's not a word? Only reason I say it's not a word because somebody told you it wasn't a word back in Bill Vernon in 1973.
Whoa! That would make me about 90 years old.
Mark, it is just kind of basic English. I mean,
Harry's chiming in.
The prefix re means to do again.
Yes.
And aggravate means what that means. So re-aggravate means to do that again.
Correct.
To aggravate again.
Now, generally, AP style does not favor hyphenation, especially when prefixes like re are involved.
This isn't AP style. Doran's not AP style. This is radio.
Exactly.
Well, if it's radio, you can say whatever you want.
In the case of re-aggravate, it's not a word specifically mentioned in the listed AP style rules for the re-prefix.
Oh, my goodness.
But we've probably spent too much time on it. So who are you? Like, are you expecting any big-time players to play on Saturday? Do you think the offensive line plays?
Yes, I do.
Game one.
I think Frazier plays. I think McCormick plays. Probably not Samalu. I think Fatanu plays. Maybe not Broderick. So I think those three will play.
I mean, why wouldn't Broderick play? If he's practicing, he's healthy.
He just came back.
So what? You got a whole week.
I don't know.
Tuesday.
We'll find out Thursday, but I would say that's one guy that I think they might be just a little cautious with.
Man.
DK going to play?
Probably not. I would say no. See what Scotty Miller can do. Scotty Miller's been decent.
Do you think the Ramseys of the world play?
No.
Darius Slay?
No.
So the offensive line is going to play because out of necessity.
Probably 60%
of it. Wow.
You have Mason start. Will Howard play some? Maybe not like Jaylen Warren, but probably Caleb Johnson. A lot of Trey Sermon. Probably not Calvin Austin, but you'll probably see Roman Wilson. You'll probably see Scotty Miller, Ben Skoranek.
You'll see the rookies. You always see a healthy dose of rookies in these games.
The defensive line, I mean, you're asking, should I even ask if Hayward or Watt will play?
They're not going to play, but...
Or Queen.
Derek Harmon, man. Tomlin loves to play the young guys. Yeah. Stephon Tuitt probably led the damn preseason in snaps when he was a rookie. That's how Tomlin operates. They don't have enough behind him, though. Like, he's such an important piece of that defensive line, but you also want him to get better.
Yeah, I think you need to probably play him.
Yeah.
He needs as much helmet time as he can get at this point. I mean, you take your chances for where you take your chances at. I mean, a lot of Jack Sawyer. I mean, Highsmith won't play. I mean, Herbig. A guy like, Herbig might probably play, but probably like Deshaun Elliott probably won't play. It's just going to be a typical week one game and week one preseason game.
All right. Terry McLaurin has requested a trade. Are the Steelers interested? We'll ask Caboli. We'll get his thoughts on that when we come back. Social media's biggest loser is Mark because of his whole car getting stuck thing. That's brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Mark Caboli with us for one more segment. Terry McLaurin has requested a trade from the Washington Commanders. We'll see if he actually does get traded. Have the Steelers inquired, Mark?
I'm sure they acquired. I haven't heard anything. I haven't been able to track anybody down. But there's a difference between being interested in inquiring, because it doesn't make zero sense to try to trade for him. Which, what would you have to give up for him?
Second.
a decent draft pick, then have to pay him, which is the whole point. He wants $30, $35 million a year. Unless the only way I could see this possibly happening, if it gets so bad in Washington, he's like, I just can't play here. I'll go send me somewhere else. I'll play out a final year there, then I'll hit free agency, and the Steelers be willing. Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. We're trying to win it this year. Come play for us this year. Then you can hit the free agency market next year. There's no way that they can sign him.
Why not?
And trade him and pay him $35 million.
They got cap space. They ain't paying a quarterback for the next 4 years.
He wants DK Metcalf money.
Yeah. So?
Plus, you have to give up Alex Highsmith type of player.
Right.
Maybe. They did get DK Metcalf for a second-round pick, although we did kick this around. And you're Washington. You fancy yourself Super Bowl contenders. You're probably going to want a player back in return.
Same old garbage, man. These people request trades, and I guarantee McLaurin signs a deal with Washington. I guarantee Parsons signs a deal with Dallas.
I think you're probably right, and then it makes the Steelers situation with T.J. Watt look tame by comparison.
Yep.
I mean, that you want to talk about what turned into a whole nothing burger? That was T.J. Watt's contract, quote-unquote, dispute.
It was the timing of it. It was in the summer when we had nothing to talk about.
Yeah, it gave us a lot of content.
Yeah, and it was different than what it had been before with TJ, but it did not reach this level, and it didn't even reach Trey Hendrickson level.
I think Jerry just wants to be a part of this show.
With you on that.
That's all.
Jerry's
Mark,
world.
This was wonderful. This was illuminating.
This was re-aggravating my senses.
Get the hell out of here.
I'm going to slam Mark. I'm going to slam him.
Just don't help him get his car out of the spot that he parked
in.
I'm
going to slash his tires.
I don't even know if it takes that.
Work smarter, not harder, brother.
That car is...
Wake work.
Yeah, this... All right, that's enough.
I got 18 people to come help me out without asking one person to help me out. How about that?
He's must right be doing about something that. Good. You must be doing something
he
right.
He asked them that.
You got a
no,
lot of friends.
No, I didn't. Yes, he did. They just all showed up like
I'm sure.
Ants on a watermelon.
I'm sure. You asked him, you're like, can you guys help me? Can you guys help me?
Fan Weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 84, low of 57. No Steelers practice today, but they do practice tomorrow, where the high is 81, low humidity.